What an exciting day, an exciting week. Goodness gracious. I'm telling you, I'm blown away with what God is doing, and I'm excited. I mean, even as a pastor, and sometimes people think, oh, well, the pastor, you're the leader. You know what I was reminded this week, and I'm reminded all the time as we've been working to plant this church, that I'm not leading anything. I might help lead people to Jesus, but goodness gracious, God is the leader of everything. God is the one driving everything in our ministry, and I'm just excited and humbled to be a part of it. And every single Sunday, I feel humbled to be a part of a church that's passionate about sharing the love of Jesus in a real way. And so thank you for being a part of that. And just want to let you know that. I mean, we're coming off of, like we said, a really exciting week at Extreme Games Camp. Really exciting week at the Fountain United Methodist Church. It was our first ever camp. And so if your kids were here, if you helped out, this is like the first deal, you know? So it's a big deal that you were here. And you may be wondering, like, why we misspelled extreme on everything we did. I mean, you got the mailer maybe at your home, and your kids are walking around with t-shirts that are misspelled, and you're thinking, okay, I'm sending them out, you know, everywhere, and now, you know, this church who can't spell, you know, and all this stuff. So you may be wondering why we call it Extreme Games. And it's because it's a part of our kids ministry that's for K through 5 that's called Lake Extreme. It's like, okay, well, that's still the same deal. We still spell it the same way. What we wanted to do is show and really do everything we do on a Sunday morning at this camp, that everything your kids experience, minus some cutting down some game time, they still do a lot of fun activities back there. It's what we do on Sunday morning for Lake Extreme and even for Deep and Wide. So, but the reason we call it Extreme is because the X is important. The very first letter of the word Christ in Greek is a chi or an X. And it's to remind us, when the church sees this X symbol, it's to remind us of Christ. And so we know in our children's ministry, we want Christ to be the very center of it. And it's also to remind us that when you see this, it also reminds us of something else, the cross. It's to remind us of what Jesus has won, not only for you and for me, but every single kid that comes into the door and every single kid out to the ends of the earth, whether you're 1 year old, 0 years old, or 90 years old, that Jesus came and died on the cross for you. And so for us, it's a reminder that Jesus is our center. Jesus is the target that we aim for, and Jesus is the very leader of our children's ministry and our church. I'm humbled to be a part of a movement that God is doing. And so also, the other part, we misspell stream as well. We spell it like a water stream. And the reason we do that is because, like the fountain, it's to remind us that God's love flows into our lives like a stream. And God wants his love to flow from into our lives and out to touch the world. So that's why it's called Extreme. So now you can, when everybody says, why do they misspell this church who doesn't know how to spell? Why are you wearing this shirt? And what's this about? You can tell them about the X and about how Jesus' love flows in us like a stream. But when you start a new venture, or you start, a new church, when you start a new camp, you don't really know exactly, you know, what to expect. I mean, that's why we did online registration, so we would have enough volunteers and things like that. We didn't know what to expect. In fact, a week before, we were saying, well, you know, goodness, we've got all these volunteers, and I hope we have enough kids for these volunteers. And signups kept coming in and in and in and in. It was a reminder that we're not in control, that Jesus is in control, and God, God had something special in store for us. I mean, we knew that God had called us to do this camp. That would be very different. That wouldn't be ordinary. A camp that would be fun and creative and would meet kids where they are, exactly where they are, and to be able to speak to them in a way so that they can internalize the message of Jesus and take it out with them. I mean, here at the Fountain, we don't care about if you just know everything there is to know about Jesus, but it doesn't have anything to do with, if it doesn't impact your life. We want your kids to be trained up. We want Jesus to not only be present in their head and in their minds, but to filter into their hearts and into their lives so that they can be changed people, they can be different and make an impact in this world. And so that's why we did this camp this way. But it was also an opportunity for us to reach out to our community. And many of you are here because of the camp. Thank you for coming and worshiping with us this morning. But we wanted to do this as a way to show people in a tangible way the love of Jesus. And kind of the cool thing, like we were saying, we didn't know how many kids would show up or anything like that, but we ended up having 64 kids that came to this camp that are just in elementary school. And so I think that's worth giving God praise about. Let's give God a hand. It's pretty cool. And then out of those 64 kids, just over 90% of the kids had never been associated with the Fountain before. And so that just kind of shows, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, our vision to reach far and wide and to be able to be a church that stands in the gap of people who aren't in church or who have never experienced that before. So, but one of my favorite things that I heard during the week came from some parents who said, in effect, many different times, this is not an ordinary camp. And I love that. That was music to my ears. This is not an ordinary camp. And it was because we never set out to be ordinary. We never set out to be an ordinary church. We never set out to be to do an ordinary camp. And Jesus has so much more for our life than just to be ordinary. We're going to be talking about that this morning. But we worship a God who calls ordinary people out of their ordinary lives and wants to make an extraordinary impact to change the world through you. And so God didn't create you and me to be ordinary, but to just go through the motions and go through the motions of life and just kind of do what everybody else does. Because at the Fountain, we believe that faith in Jesus is important. It can have an impact right where you are. And so that's kind of what we're doing. So ordinary. Think about this. When you go and you shop at the mall, you don't go and shop at an ordinary store. I mean, you might go and browse around a little bit, but if a store is just okay, ordinary, you walk out and you don't spend your money there. You go to stores that are great and you invest there. Same thing with a hotel. You don't want to stay in an ordinary hotel. You want to get the best bang for your buck, right? You want whatever you pay for, you want it to be great. You don't want anything to be ordinary. You don't write home about ordinary. You don't follow ordinary. That's not what we're after. But so many times I've found in our lives that we settle in our lives for ordinary. We settle for this ordinary way of living. And maybe sometimes we don't even realize we're doing it. We just get busy in the stuff of life and life just keeps spinning faster and faster. And like all of a sudden there's a hamster wheel and we feel like we have to jump on it in order to catch up with this ordinary life that everybody else is running on and just keep running faster and faster. And suddenly we realize that our life and our purpose starts to look a lot like the patterns of our life, where maybe we eat, sleep, work, play, eat, sleep, work, play, eat, sleep, work, play. And is that all life is about? Is that all, I mean, just that mundane, boring, ordinary life? Or does God have something more for us? You know, are we just satisfied with being like an ordinary goldfish, swimming in an ordinary bowl and living in an ordinary way? This morning I want to tell you that God didn't create you for ordinary. God didn't create you for ordinary. And so today we finish our series called Escaping Ordinary. Escaping Ordinary, because that's what Jesus wants to help you to do in your life, to escape ordinary. Where we're looking at how God invites us not to settle, but instead to pursue God's best. So the first Sunday, we learned that we were made on purpose and we're made for a purpose. That's what we talked about the first week. So there's your quick crash course, that you're made on purpose and you're made for a purpose, which means you're made on purpose, which is a big deal, which means that nobody's an accident. That God created you and knitted you in your mother's womb and knows every hair on your head and knows you by name. That God created you special. And that may seem like pie in the sky type of stuff until you look at it through the lens of the cross and you realize that Jesus wouldn't die for junk. That Jesus doesn't create junk. That Jesus wants to make you into his masterpiece. That you are a person who is loved dearly by God. That you are his masterpiece. That we're created on purpose. And then we're created for the purpose of loving and serving God in everything we do. So that when you go to work and your boss tells you to, hey, go out, I want you to go take the trash out. And you're like, I'm like one of the bosses here. I'm like just under you. Go take out the trash. You're no longer serving your boss. You can do your job in a way that to love and serve God. You can love your spouse in a way to love, as a way to love and serve God. You can help nurture your kids and bring them up as a way to love and serve God. Everything you do can be used for that purpose. So that was the first week. Last week we talked about how we're learning how God's purpose for us is to live our life more like, not like a goldfish that swims down the stream like every other fish, but instead to live like a salmon that swims, goes against the flow, that swims upstream, because Jesus calls us not to live ordinary, but to live our lives differently, that we would be holy as Jesus is holy, so that we look more and more like Jesus in everything that we do. So there's your crash course for the series that we've been doing, and today we're going to be talking about our mission. We've been looking inside for 2 weeks, looking at ourselves and what Jesus wants to offer us, but now we're going to flip that around and say how Jesus calls us to offer something really big to the world, and it's calling for every single believer. So if you have your Bibles, would you turn to Matthew chapter 5? The words will also be on the screen. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. And if you don't have a Bible, if you don't own a personal copy of the Bible, we offer free Bibles every single Sunday out in our coffee area. It's the green Bible. If you'll pick one up and write your name in it, this is, you're not stealing from the church. This is our free gift to you. We want you to have it. And we know that the Bible speaks to us in a way that will change your life. So it's an investment into your spiritual life. So please take that. Let that be our gift. But let's stand this morning, Matthew chapter 5, in honor and reverence of the reading of God's word. And it may seem funny when we stand up, but when your kids every morning when they are getting ready to start the day, they the Pledge of Allegiance comes on, and your kids stand up in honor of the country and to pledge allegiance to the country. And so when we stand, even the more that we stand in honor of the reading of God's word, how God's word speaks to us in ways that nothing else in this world ever can. And so that's why we stand. But Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, this is Jesus talking. And this is your mission. Are y'all ready? Here we go. Verse 14, Jesus says this: "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God. And for that we say, thanks be to God. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. You can have a seat. Awesome. Well, the human eye works by detecting light. Now, I don't know all this stuff about science. I know I've been throwing stuff about salmon and all these scientific things. I mean, that's what the internet's for, right? You know. So, but the human eye works by detecting light, and it's by the surrounding environment, and it converts these lights into electrical signals that end up transmitting signals to the brain, and so it allows you to see the images that you see. It's pretty cool. So light, we can see as light passes through our eyes, and light has to be passing through our eyes for us to see anything. So one time I was spelunking, if you heard of that, or caving, otherwise known as caving. It's kind of a weird word, spelunking, but I was caving in the Chattanooga, Tennessee area with the Wesley Foundation, and it's not really my thing. I'm not really into like crawling in these like crazy, gross corners and maybe getting, you know, hopefully not stuck in, you know, trying to not get stuck into, you know, some little tight corner and having, you know, the Rangers to, you know, having to come down and get me. But anyway, it's not really my thing. But anyway, we went spelunking one time, and we were crawling in the cave, and there was these bats around. It was a little gross, and, you know, again, not my thing. Maybe this is your thing, but not mine. But anyway, I'm trying to be a good sport and trying to be this tough man, because it was like, I was like one of the strongest guys there. And so I was like, all right, don't be a wuss. Like, you know, just keep climbing. And so all of a sudden, we got to this place in the cave that was just completely dark. And I've never been in a place like this before. I mean, I used to think, like, in my room when I was a little kid, when I had this little nightlight on, I mean, that was dark. But this was dark. I mean, I could wave my hand in front of my face, and I couldn't see anything. And it was actually a little bit eerie and scary. I've never been in a place that was that dark before. And I felt really lost, even though I was standing in the same place as I was before, and I was really worried that people would bump into me. I wanted to get out of there as soon as I can, and so I did what my little baby boy does on the ultrasound when something's poking at him, puts his hands in front of his face. And so I put my hands in front of my face, because I guess it was just kind of like going back to the fetal position type thing, and here in this dark space with other people around, I put my hands in front of my face, and I just kind of stood there. I didn't move, and I just wanted to protect people from me from stepping into a hole or running into somebody or somebody running into me. It was terrifying. I hated it. It was impossible to see anything. Because our vision is dependent on light passing through our eyes, there was no way that I could see. And suddenly, as we followed the sound of the leader, as they're trying to direct us with the sound of their voice, all of a sudden we got to a place where all of a sudden this stream of light pierced through the dark cave. It was so bright that I had to hide my eye and squint my eyes, and I couldn't really make out what it was, but I was thankful to see some light because it was terrifying in that dark place. And all of a sudden, as my eyes began to adjust and as the light filled the room, I could finally see where I was going. I could finally see that nobody was going to run into me, and I didn't have to protect myself as much, and I wasn't worried about getting lost in a cave. I could see my way out. Jesus says and uses this analogy in John chapter 8, we didn't read this, and he says this: "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." You know, it's ordinary to live our lives feeling like we're in a cave, like we're trapped in a cave in a dark place like that. But that's not the life that Jesus offers for you and me. Jesus didn't create you for ordinary. Jesus created you for so much more, to have life in his name. You know, God came down in Jesus Christ, to make a way for all people, to be able to walk out of the darkness of our past, to be able to walk out of the darkness of our sins and our failures and everything that other people don't like about us, and to shine light into us and to make us whole. The cross was a place where darkness was defeated, where death and sin didn't get the final word. It was the place where Jesus won for us your salvation. The cross was a place that Jesus won. Jesus came so that people who are trapped in darkness can be changed forever and be set free by the light. But then in Matthew chapter 5, this is just absolutely crazy, how Jesus had already said all throughout the Bible, God had said, I'm the light and all this stuff. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, one of the first things that God creates is, he says, let there be light. That God is the light. God is the creator of light. But then Jesus turns it on its head and he says in Matthew chapter 5 to us, you are the light of the world. Well, Jesus, I mean, all throughout the Bible, we've been hearing that you're the light, and now you're turning it on to us and saying, now we're the light? That's right. It's not because of anything that we're producing. It's because as Jesus pours into our lives and comes into our lives, then all of a sudden we can reflect back that light to others. Once we experience Jesus lighting up your life and setting you free from your sins, we're called to reflect that light to others. We're called to be God's mirror, if you will. And here's kind of how this works. A ray of light hits a surface. And when it hits a surface, it hits at a particular angle and it bounces off, kind of like a tennis ball. It comes right back to you. And so if you were to shine a light at a mirror at a 45-degree angle, it would all of a sudden go out at a 45-degree angle as well, just like a tennis ball would. And so if you're to take a flashlight and you're to shine it right into the mirror, it would shine right back into your face. That's how a mirror works, and that's how a mirror reflects light. And so what Jesus is saying is that for all people who are in Jesus, all Christians, that the light of Jesus, as it comes into our life and as it fills it up, that we're called to reflect Jesus back to the world, to show people who Jesus is by the way we live our lives and by what we do. And it's not because we're perfect, but because we follow a perfect Savior, that we're to be God's mirror that reflects Jesus back to everyone we see. And so when people see our lives, they see what Jesus is doing in us. They don't look at us anymore. They say, wow, you're different than you were before. Jesus must be doing something in your life. And we're called to make a difference in this world. We're called. I just gave a talk on Thursday. This has been a busy week. We did the youth camp on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I preached for a youth conference on Thursday night a couple hours away, and I got to talk to the kids about being ambassadors of Christ. The same principle, being a light of Christ. And at the end of the service, I had everybody stand up. Had everybody stand up and hold their fist in the air. And we had these, 150 youth standing up with their fist in the air, and I reminded them that you are the light of the world, that you have the power through Jesus to go and change the world. And I prayed over them, and it was one of the coolest things. You know, youth love that stuff. I mean, when you were a teenager, I mean, you wanted to go and change the world. That's not ordinary to change the world, but so many times we settle for something less. Jesus still wants you to change the world. So we have an opportunity to go and change the world through Jesus by letting our light be seen by others. And if you've got Jesus in you, it's hard to hide the light, really, because it just shines all around you. It's kind of like when the light peered into the tunnel, into this dark cave. It didn't just stop at me. All of a sudden, it started spreading to everyone else. And so if we have Jesus' light in us, all of a sudden, it starts spreading to everybody around us. It starts rubbing off on them. And they say, hey, where'd you get that stuff? I want some of it. That's better than the other things that I've been going to, the other wells that I've been drinking from. Where'd you get that light? And we get to offer them Jesus. And so that's what light does, is that it lights people up, lights other people up. And so Jesus is saying that you can actually make a difference in the world around, with people around in your lives. And what your friends want to know, what people outside the church and what people who don't know about Jesus are looking for, are two things. The first thing is this Jesus stuff real? I mean, let's face it. I mean, I know I'm a pastor and all this stuff, and, we can come and we can play church, but people will really want to know, is this Jesus stuff real? Is this Jesus stuff real, or should I keep walking and keep drinking from these same empty wells? is this Jesus stuff real? The second question that people are looking for, and maybe you're looking for too, is can Jesus have a real impact in my real life today? Can Jesus really have an impact in my life? Or are we just here just getting a good feel-good thing and being sent off? Can Jesus really have an impact in my life? See, we all have friends and people that we know in our spheres of influence. We all have a sphere of influence. Your sphere of influence is different than mine. I can impact people that you can't, and you have people that you know that you can impact their lives in ways that I never will. In fact, as a pastor, it's sometimes harder to impact people's lives because I'm supposed to talk about Jesus. I know I'm a pastor and all this stuff. But all of a sudden, when people are seeing Jesus shining through you, goodness gracious, people say, that's real. I want some of that. I mean, that's how it's supposed to work. And so people are wanting to know those questions. But so oftentimes, we don't let people see it. Your friends know you go to church, and you know maybe Jesus is really changing your life forever for the better, but oftentimes we like to hide our light under a bushel, to kind of hide it, and we go to work and we're like, hey, yeah, you know, I had a good week, it was great, I just, you know, watched some football games, and you know, and we're not willing to share with people about the light of Jesus in us. And by not showing people the impact that Jesus is making on our lives, people are left to wonder, is Jesus just another compartment just like everything else? I mean, where you have friends and we have family and we have job and school and hobbies, and then Jesus is another side dish to the tray. I mean, we're called to be the light of Jesus, to shine the light of Jesus, to reflect Jesus to our friends. But if we don't do that, people start to think that maybe this Jesus stuff is just a side dish like everything else. People need to know that Jesus isn't just a compartment. They need to see that in you. That Jesus is the center that shapes everything. That Jesus isn't just first place. That Jesus is a center that connects your marriage and your life and your hobbies and your kids and everything that you do. But we've got to allow people to see Jesus working in you. One of the best ways you can do that is just to share with people about what God's doing. I mean, I do this all the time, and maybe I'm just a nut, but I oftentimes I'll say, you know what God's teaching me right now? I mean, this is crazy. I don't have it all figured out, but here's what God's showing me right now. And it's not saying that you have to live your life in this way. It's saying, I want to tell you about what Jesus is doing in mine. And maybe Jesus can do the same thing in yours because it's real. I mean, that's kind of how it works. And so when something good happens to you, we naturally tell about it. But oftentimes when it comes to our faith, that's the one thing that we like to hide. Because maybe we don't want to offend somebody, or maybe we don't want to be embarrassed or whatever. Or maybe we're just afraid that they'll think something bad about us, when the reality is, if Jesus is changing your life, people need to see it, because people might be looking for the same thing. And so God didn't create us to put a muzzle over our mouths or to put a bowl over the light of Jesus that's flowing in us. God created us to be able to shine that light so that others can see, to share it, to be God's mirror that reflects Jesus back to others. That's why we at The Fountain hosted a kids camp this week. I mean, you may be wondering, okay, what is the purpose of this? I mean, why did y'all do this? That's why we did that, because we wanted to offer an absolutely free camp. And it's because the people of the church are called to be the light of Jesus. We wanted to offer an absolutely free camp because it's a perfect picture of the grace and love that Jesus has for you and for me and for people who even think they don't deserve that grace. That it's free. That we can't do anything to earn it. That it's love that Jesus just pours out to the entire world. That Jesus offers it to them and to us. And so that's why we did a free camp. To be able to show people the light of Jesus and that it's free. And I mean, it took a lot of resources. It took a lot of people. It took a lot of time to plan it and all that stuff. And it doesn't make sense that a church that's just a little bit over 4 months old would reach out to the community like that. But we believe at the church, at The Fountain, that we're blessed to be a blessing. That God didn't create us just to hold everything in and just to have a good little Christian party in here. I mean, that's not what we're all about. We believe that we're blessed to be a blessing to others. And so in everything that we do, we're going to give extravagantly. We're going to reach out extravagantly. We're going to show the love of Christ in an extravagant way, because we're not called to keep it in. We're here to show the light of Jesus as a church and as a people. That's what we're about. I mean, it was also a way for us in doing this free camp to be able to talk about the love of Jesus. Not to just talk about it. You know, people talk about, hey, Jesus loves you and all that stuff. And maybe you're like, oh, yeah, I've heard this before, you know, on those TV shows that you see on the weird channels, on the lower channels sometimes, where people are screaming at you, Jesus loves you and all this stuff. But we wanted to not just talk about the love of Jesus, but we wanted people to experience it and to see it and to feel it, and for their kids to experience it and feel it and to know that it's real and can have a real impact in real lives today. The Fountain UMC is never going to be an ordinary church. If you're looking for an ordinary church, this is not the place, because God has not called us to live in an ordinary way and to be an ordinary church and to have an ordinary small vision. That's not where we're going. We have a huge vision, not given by me, but given by the Lord, where God is leading us to reach far and wide so that people can see Jesus in us, so that we can be a reflection of Jesus to the entire world. I've said this before, but this is just a little bit about our vision. There are over 140,000 people within a 5-mile radius of this school where we meet. And, you know, out of those 140,000 people, that's just nuts. This area is going to grow another 30-something percent in the next 5 years projected. But out of those 140,000 people, there's only a little bit over 80% of the population of the people are not in church anywhere, are not connected with the local church. And we may look at that and say, oh, that's great that so many people are going to church and all that stuff. But for me, and what God laid on my heart and on the heart of the Fountain, is that's not good enough. That there needs to be a church here that's willing to stand in that gap, that's willing to stand in the gap the way Jesus stood in the gap for us, and is willing to reach far and wide and to do whatever it takes so that people can see Jesus in us. I mean, one of our core values here at the Fountain is that we will do whatever it takes, short of sin, to reach people far from God. We will do whatever it takes, short of sin, to reach people far from God. And maybe some things that we do are going to look a little bit crazy, like some of the games your kids play. We're going to do whatever it takes, short of sin, to reach people far from God. We're doing church differently for a reason. It's not because we have it all figured out. It's not because we're better than anybody else. It's because we're trying to be a church that stands in the gap, as Jesus stood in the gap for us. And so I want you to know that you're a part of something that's big and an opportunity to change the world. And we're doing church differently for a reason. And we won't do something that creeps into the darkness of sin in order to accomplish that mission. We're not going to do that. But anything else, we'll do whatever it takes to reach people far from God, to lead people, as our purpose statement says, to life, hope, purpose, and wholeness through Jesus Christ. Because as we've experienced it in our lives, we want to reflect that back to the world. That's who we are as a church. And we don't believe at the Fountain that we're called to do ministry to the people in a conquering sort of way. Our vision is very different. We believe in doing ministry as a part of the community, to be a part of the community, to be an asset of this community and to this world, and to reach out as missionaries, to be a part of it, not to try to conquer anybody, but to love people into the kingdom so that they can see the love of Jesus in us. So that's kind of who we are. And so the church isn't a place where we have to have it all together. I mean, it may seem like, you know, when you come to church, like you've got to have the deal. You need to know all the answers to everything. You need to like dress a certain way. You got to have everything figured out. And here at the Fountain, and really every church, that's not the church that Jesus created. Jesus created the church to be a place where sinners could come, where people who didn't have it all figured out could come. And so we're a church that doesn't have it all together. And I'm okay with that. We're never going to have it all together. But Jesus never came to people and says, hey, I want you to change first and then come to me. And so many times we might model that as a church, but the Fountain, we're not going to do that. And everything that we're saying, come in first. You don't have to change. Come to us and maybe experience Jesus, and maybe Jesus will change you through that. Come first. You don't have to change first. I mean, he never came to people like that. And so he met people who had real struggles and real issues and who fell short all the time. And he said to those people like you and me, come, follow me. And I'll make you fishers of men, fishers of people. Come follow me, and I'll make you a new creation. Come follow me, and I'll do things in your ordinary life that you never knew were possible through me. That's what Jesus offers for you and for me. And so Jesus invited people to belong first before they believed. And so that's why at the Fountain, we've got people in the parking lot. We've got people in the hallway. We're trying to welcome in everything we do. Our goal is to welcome people the way Jesus has welcomed us. And it's not because we've got something that somebody else doesn't or anything like that. It's because we've experienced the light of Christ and how Jesus welcomed us while we didn't have it all figured out. That we're called to be a church that reaches out to the gap and says, look, we don't care if you have it figured out. Just come follow Jesus. Come and be a part of this. Come and experience what Jesus offers you. And so as people were welcomed by Jesus, they were saved by him and changed by him. And we think that God does the same thing today. I mean, they didn't have to fix themselves. I mean, Jesus is the light of the world that shines light into any dark place in our life and can completely transform it, regardless of our past or failures or anything else. And so we at The Fountain are not an ordinary church, and we're okay with that. We're not going to be ordinary because we're striving to follow an extraordinary Savior who loves us and who cares for us and who wants to reach out to the world through us. And so in order for us to reflect Jesus to the world, in order for us to do that, we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be a perfect reflection of everything that Jesus is. We just have to show what Jesus is doing in us. All we have to do is get out our mirrors and say, all right, Lord, pour into me and offer that to the world. To pour in the same thing, to offer out the same thing that Jesus is pouring into us. Changing the world is dependent on Jesus working in us, not us pulling Jesus along. And I've used this analogy before so many times in my life and really in my ministry. There's been times where I'm like, all right, Lord, we're going to go over here, okay? And so I'm like trying to pull God along. It's like, and then I get stuck, you know, get to the end of the line. I'm like, okay, all right, Lord, we're going to go over here. And so I try to pull God along, and then I find out that he's really pulling me. And so many times, like, I'm a big water skier. And I've talked about this before, but when you water ski, if you're familiar with that, so many times if you put your skis on and you're supposed to, you know, keep your arms straight and knees bent and let the boat pull you up. But so many times in my life, I try to do the opposite thing where I say, all right, hit it, Lord, let's go. And I try to pull myself up. And if you try to pull yourself up, you end up falling into the water. But God designed us and created you and me to follow him, to be able to keep our arms straight and our knees bent, and to allow the Lord to pull our lives and to do things in and through us that we can never do in ourselves. So many times, there's a big difference. You may want to write this down. This is a cool thing. There's a big difference in being in the world for God and being in God for the world. Let me say that again. There's a big difference in being in the world for God and being in God for the world. Here's kind of how this works. If you're in the world for God, I mean, so many times it's like that, me trying to pull God along and trying to pull myself up by the skiing on a boat. But that's not the way God wants us to do it. I mean, so many times we try to do things for God. God, I'm in the world for you. I'm going to change the world for you. And so we say things with a good spirit by saying, God, I just want to change lives. I'm going to go out there and impact people's lives. But Jesus doesn't need us to do things for God. People don't need to see more of us. People need to see more of Jesus working in us. If we're just offering ourselves to the world and trying to change lives on our own abilities, lives aren't going to be changed because we're just going to be offering ourselves. There's a difference in being in the world for God and being in God for the world. What God needs is for us to be in Jesus, to be changed by Jesus, and to offer Jesus to the world, to be in Jesus for the sake of the world. That's what it means to be the reflection or the light of Jesus, is that we don't produce the light. We can't do anything to cause the light. Is that as Jesus pours into our lives, we're just reflecting what Jesus has already done in our own. I believe that there's enough people in here and enough gifts in here to change the world. And I say that with all sincerity. I know that sounds like a graduation speech that's kind of like, oh yeah, everyone, oh, the places you'll go, everybody hears this. But I know that there's enough gifts in here and enough people in here to change the entire world. You see, God took 12 disciples that were misfits and outcasts. People that didn't have very many gifts at all. They were tax collectors. They were fishermen. They were the not good enoughs in society that were sent home to do their family trade. They weren't good enough to be rabbis like the best of the best. And Jesus took these not good enoughs and he poured into their lives, just 12 of them. He transformed their lives. And I mean, Jesus was right there in front of them. And so many times he would be like, hey, here's where we're going. And they'd be like, oh, Jesus, all right, we're going to go over here. And they just got distracted all the time. They fell short all the time. They struggled with sin. They didn't have that many gifts, but Jesus took those 12 people, those ordinary misfits, and he changed the entire world so that every single person he took those 12 disciples who shared the gospel with somebody, who shared the gospel with somebody else, who shared about Jesus' love with someone else, and someone else, and someone else, and someone else, who ended up sharing it with you. Jesus took those 12 disciples and changed the entire world. And so I know that there's enough people in here and enough gifts in here to change the entire world if we allow Jesus to work in and through us. I think of it like a bucket. God's not created us to be a bucket that just as God pours into our life, we get filled up and we just let it sit. And that's what buckets are for. They're for holding stuff. And so oftentimes, I mean, this is the way, and I have to say, I've lived my life like this a lot, where Jesus pours into me and it's like, man, this is just, it feels so good to have God inside of me. But what happens if water stays stagnant? It starts to get ugly and gross, and that's not the way God's created us to live. That's ordinary. God created you and me to live more like a fire hose. That is, Jesus pours into our life, flows through us, and we pour out to the entire world. That's what it means to be the light of Jesus. And so, because of Jesus, no matter where you are, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, you can have a life full of purpose. I want to encourage you this week to get your mirrors out, to first pursue Jesus and let Jesus come into your life, but to get your mirrors out and to show him to the entire world. As the band comes up, we're going to, I want to encourage you. So many times that we have these lights, and like we said, we turn them on and Jesus comes and fills our life and our heart up. But so many times we turn around and we don't want to show that to anybody. But Jesus says to put our light on a stand and let it shine for everybody to see. I mean, this light will change you. It pierces into any darkness in us. And if you don't know, if you never heard of any of this, or if maybe you're saying, you know what, I want this light to come into my life. I'm going to be in the back as we sing this song together. And I'd love to talk with you about following Jesus and pursuing Jesus and having this light inside of you. It'll change your life. But let me pray for us right now, and then we'll sing. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you are good and that your love endures forever. God, we thank you that you are the light of the world that can come into the darkest places that we're in. And God, you can rescue us. You can set us free. You can pour light into any dark place and transform us. But God, we thank you that you've called us to transform the world, not because of us, but through you. Father, help us to be the light of the world. Help us to put our lamp on a stand this week when we go to work, when we're around people in our spheres of influence. Help us to show what you're doing in our lives by the way we live. Help us to be your mirror. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing together.